Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation on South the 12th Hour in Elgin, Texas. Today is September 21, 2024, or it is the 19th day of Tishri, 2028. We will get started our first service today, our second service for the day, entitled The Leopard Like Beast, Revelation 13, 1 to 10. Okay. Leopard like beast. This is our second sermon for the day. For the nondescript beast of Daniel 7, representing Rome in his final stage. So that would be in the 12th parabolic hour. That's when his final stage is. Shows prophetically by his 10 horns that there were 10 kings to arise out of Rome. And his second stage, it is shown that the papacy was to arise. Subdue three kings and wear out the saints of the Most High for the space of 1260 years. But it tells not of the fall of the Roman monarchy or the papacy. It is silent concerning the Reformation that came before or after 1798 A.D. Therefore, the lack of information about the symbols of this beast must be found somewhere else in the prophetic word of Yahweh. This must be sought for in the book of the Revelation, for it is as the complement for the Daniel's prophecy. For the leopard like beast of the Revelation 13, 1 to 10, is as the only symbolical prophecy that tells of the fall of the Roman monarchy, for the crowning of the ten kings, the wound of the papacy, the Reformation, and rise of the Protestantism, and the capacity of the Pope. And I stood upon the side of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his head the name of the blasphemy, Revelation 13:1. Note that this beast has the same number of the horns as the nondescript beast in the first stage, Imperial Rome. For the Daniel says that the ten horns on the beast representing Rome are the ten kings that shall arise. Daniel 7:24. For the horns symbolizing the Roman world and its imperial state also pointed forward unto the time when the empire would be divided into ten parts or kingdoms. In other words, while the horns primarily represented the Roman world in its imperial form, they secondarily denote the present world and its divided state since the fall of Rome, corresponding with the ten toes on the great image of the Daniel 2. For the nondescript beast in his first stage has ten horns, as in his second stage a little horn came up and three of the ten were plucked up by the roots, denoting that they can never be reinstated as the things that they were. For the coins being reduced into the biblical number 7 signifies that the papacy was to have complete sway over the entire world as far as the Christian church is concerned. And that Christian church was the church that the Catholic Church took over and ruled for. Those that joined the Catholic Church, then the Catholic Church called them a Christian church for the Catholic Church. But those that fled into the rocks and the mountains during the Dark Ages continue to call themselves apostolic Sabbatarian, members of the apostolic church. Therefore, the 10 horns on the leopard-like beast of the Revelation 13:1 did not signify that the 3 uprooted ones have assumed their authority the second time, as the same number of the horns appear on each succeeding beast, namely the nondescript Daniel 7:7, the leopard light, Revelation 13:1, and the scarlet color, Revelation 17:3, representing the entire New Testament era. It is evident by the facts gathered that the number of the horns are intended to denote universal, as they are absent from the beast of Revelation 13:11-18, for it verifies the fact that the 2 horned beast denotes a local system. Therefore, it is unquestionably clear that the fixed number of the horns, 10, are designed to universally symbolize the peoples and government. Follow the chart on page 84. Inasmuch as the lion, the bear, the four-headed leopard, and the nondescript beast, the symbols of the Babylon, Medo-Persia, Grecia, and Rome, are linked unto each other. The unbreakable chain of the hearts make it impossible for another universal beast system to intersect their consecutive order. Consequently, the leopard-like beast of Revelation 13:1-9 must follow the nondescript beast of Rome, Revelation 13:2-3, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth is the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his head as it were wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. The composition of the beast reveals the fact that he is a descendant from the 4 beasts before him. For the mouth of a lion, the feet of a bear, the body of a leopard, and the number of the horns all point back unto his hereditary characteristics as descending from Babylon, Medo-Persia, Grecia, and Rome. This indisputable fact proves that he is the 5th universal beast. The leopard-like beast arises out of the sea and the same manner as the four beasts before it, Daniel 7:3. Therefore, the beast of Revelation 13:1-9 is created from the result of war and commotion among the nations, in the same manner as Babylon, Medo-Persia, Grecia, and Rome, since the evidence revealed by the symbol cannot be questioned. The leopard-like beast assumes the period after the fall of the Imperial Rome, corresponding to the feet and toes, iron and clay, of the great image in Daniel 2. In other words, the leopard-like beast arrives with the closing period represented by the first stage of the nondescript beast, or the second stage of the latter papal Rome, continues up until 1798. Consequently, the unfolding powers of the one overlap the downward course of the other. Under John the leopard, like this, was shown not in its unfolding process, but rather in its closing act. For he says, and his deadly wound was healed. He saw in vision the beast after the deadly wound was had been healed, for he uses the past tense was. But in Daniel's vision, the work of the nondescript beast was all in the future, said the prophet. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times of the Lord, and they shall be given into his hand until the time and times and the dividing of time. Daniel 7:25. Daniel, in vision, viewed the history represented by the beast forward, while John looked backward, or in other words, Daniel saw what the beast was to do, while John was shown what the beast had done. Okay, our next subtitle is The Crowns and the Horns. The crowns and the horns of the beast having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, John says, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. For the wounded head represents the papacy, wounded by the Martin Luther, which was originally symbolized by the horn head of the nondescript beast, showing only the papal power and the authority. But the leopard-like shows the papacy and her wounded state, and the imprisonment of the Pope. Thus the two beasts, the nondescript and the leopard-like, overlap each other from the fall of the Imperial Rome in 1798. Therefore, while the nondescript beast in its second stage represents the papacy, she is secondarily described by the leopard-like. The one reveals the tyrannical authority, and the other describes her downfall. For the little horn was to have power and wear out the saints of the Most High for 1260 years, Daniel 7:25. But the leopard-like also opened his mouth and the blasphemy, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months, Revelation 13:6. And it says, for the number of the months is equivalent unto the time and time and the dividing of the time, 1260 days or years, figuring 30 days to the month. With the imprisonment of the Pope by the 6th and his death on August the 19th, 1799, a certain transaction occurred between the nondescript and the leopard-like beast. The head and horns were removed from one to the other, so to speak. In the making the change, the little horn having the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things was transposed from the horn head to a common rooted head, showing the papacy had lost her ecclesiastical authority and was no longer represented by a horn head combination of church and state. As that event terminated, the prophetic period of the 1260 years of the Daniel 7:25 and Revelation 13:5, it completely crowned the horn of the leopard-like beast, signifying that the state is now independent of the church. The crown on his horns denotes the fall of the Roman monarchy, showing that the ten kings, which were symbolized by the ten horns of the nondescript beast, have received their kingdom. Okay. Horns and heads all present. How John saw the beast having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns. Let us not overlook the fact that all horns, crowns, and heads are present on the beast. Therefore, whatever meaning is derived by the symbol, all must be in the existence at the time of his deadly wound being healed. Had it not been so, the symbols of the heads and horns would have come one after another, as it was with the little horn and the entire tree that were plucked up from the nondescript beast of Daniel 7:7. A similar method is observed with the goat. After the notable horn of Alexander was broken off, four came up to take its place, the four divisions of the Grecian, and after this came up the exceeding great horn, which primarily represented Rome, Daniel 8:8-9. Where systems and governments do not all exist at the same time, the symbols show their consecutive order. Another factor to be noted, that every symbol of the entire procession of the beast points out facts that were to transpire within the period represented by each beast, and not one of them refers to anything in the past, save the hereditary ancestral characteristics. Therefore, heads or horns have no reference unto anything before or after the period represented by the beast. It is also unnatural for the heads, members of the beast, to exist before or after the beast himself. Therefore, it would be inconsistent to conclude that the horns, as well as the head, could denote a consecutive order of the system so long as they all appear at the time of the closing act as a beast, a leopard-like beast, and his wounded state must be intended to prophetically point out the existing condition with the present civilization. The symbol of the head is our next subtitle. It is impossible that both horns and head should stand for the civil government or king. If the horns represent the political side, then the head cannot. John says, as a leopard like this, I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. As a head that was wounded represents a religious system, then all seven must represent religious organization, for all heads are alive, save the wound. Thus it is an unmistakable fact that the symbols are intended to reveal both the civil and the religious side of the present world. For the crown represents civil authority, as previously explained. Had they been on the heads like on the dragon of the Revelation 12:3, it would denote that the churches are using the civil arm of the state for the propagating of the dogmas, as in the days of the imperial and papal Rome, represented by the dragon. But since the crowns are on the horn, and the state is independent from the church, it proves the symbol by the crowns to be correct. As the facts brought forth regarding the nature of the symbols cannot be questioned, it is evident that we have a positive foundation for their application. For the leopard-like beast is a descendant of the four ancient empires. Therefore, he represents the world, but more particularly the entire Western civilization. And the Western civilization starts right there in Europe. The beginning of the Western civilization starts with Poland, Germany, coming this way with their civil and religious system. Consequently, the head represents Christendom only. John says, that these having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy, the fact that there is the name of blasphemy on the heads is an additional proof that they can only represent religious organizations. For the blasphemy is equivalent to hypocrisy, and hypocrisy means an attempt to mix the sacred with the common. But the Yahshua says, I know the blasphemy of them who say they are Jews, Christians, and are not. They are the synagogue of Satan. Revelation 2:9, or whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. 1 Timothy 1:20. Therefore, some of men speak unto the house of Israel, and say unto them, thus said the Yahshua. Yet in this or your fathers have blasphemed, and that they have committed trespass against me. This, I guess, is the Father talking, actually. Let's read that again. Thus saith Yahweh, yet in this your fathers have blasphemed me, the Father, and that they have committed trespass against him. Ezekiel 20:27. Your iniquity and the iniquity of your fathers together, saith Yahshua. For saith Yahweh, which had burned incense upon the mountain and blasphemed me upon the hill, therefore will I measure their former work into their bosom. Isaiah 65:7. Disobedience unto the word of Yahweh is blasphemy. Naturally, the question arises, who could these blasphemous denominations be? They can certainly be many, consider the multiplicity of the sect, for the prophets, for the prophetic word of the Yahweh speaking of this present time said, knowing this first, that this shall come in the last days, scoffers, walking after their own lust, 2 Peter 3:3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they shall heap unto themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto the fables. 2 Timothy 4:3-4. What has brought the present day confusion? Because they have departed from the sound biblical truth. Of the Bible truth is the only answer that can be given. Is it possible that all can be right and no two believe alike? With one Bible, one teaching of the plan of salvation of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, which they call the one gospel, one Lord. In other words, one Savior, Yahshua, the Messiah, one hell, the Son, and one heaven, again, Yahshua said, and other sheets I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. John 10:16. Such satanic confusion as the one at the present time was about to arise in the days of the Paul. As the Spirit of Yahweh moved upon him, he uttered the words with a sharp rebuke. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Savior Yahshua, that he shall speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of the Shalom, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of the Yahshua, and the Yahshua divided. Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? 1 Corinthians 1:10-13. How great the contrast between the position taken by the Spirit-filled servant of the Yahweh and the present-day self-styled apostle. For the Yahshua said, all these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. John 16:3. Had all these so-called Christian leaders been led by the Spirit of Yahweh, they would imitate the example set forth by the prophets and the apostles. then there could have been no division in the biblical truth. For the present condition is indeed a blasphemy, and fulfills the words of the Master, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, and as much as if it were possible they shall deceive the very elect. Matthew 24:24. In view of this great confusion, there is the apparent difficulty to immediately determine who is right and who is wrong. For Yahshua said again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on the earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 18:19. There could be nothing more pleasing unto Yahweh than for one of his servants to ask in sincerity the way of the truth. Therefore, such a one shall not be left in darkness. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened up unto you. Matthew 7:7. If people care to find the truth, it can easily be done. But the fact of the matter is that they do not care. People would rather be deceived than to ask Yahweh to show them his truth. Yes, they pray, but their prayers are not heard. For he that turneth away his ear from the hearing of the law, even his prayers shall be an abomination. Proverbs 28:9. For the so-called Christians of this day say that the Scriptures is in the Old Testament and for the Jews only. For we turn unto the New Testament for light upon the subject. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of the heaven. For whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:19. For the honest in the heart with the surprise I hear the word from the impious scoffer of the day that does not mean the law of Yahweh, it is a commandment of the Yahshua, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. True, but which one of the Ten Commandments can you break and yet fulfill the commandments of the Yahshua? Okay. That's John 15:10. Yahshua said to the disciples, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And if you love your neighbor, will you dishonor your Yahweh? Or not the first four kept to show honor unto Yahweh, and the last six to test our love unto men? Next I say, sure, said to Yahshua, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Matthew 22:40. Is the begotten Son of Yahweh working and of opposition unto his Father? The revelation of Yahshua, which Yahweh gave unto him to show unto the servant saints which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Revelation 1:1. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those that keep the commandments of Yahweh and the faith of the Yahshua, meaning keeping the faith of the Yahshua. Faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua. That's what the faith means. Revelation 14:12. Has not Yahshua said that his saints keep the commandments of the Yahweh? Again, the carnal mind raises an objection, for they keep the commandments of Yahweh and not the law. that the Spirit declares if we have respect of persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgression. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, James 2:10, meaning keeping the whole sanctuary system of the feast days, and yet offend at one point, he is guilty of all. For he has said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if you commit adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. James 2:9-12. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Revelation 22:14. For the keeping of his commandments is a ticket to heaven. For the law, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according unto this word, it is because there's no light in them. Isaiah 8:20. Because the carnal mind is enmity against Yahweh, for it is not subject unto the law of Yahweh, neither indeed can be. Romans 8:7. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. 1 John 2:4. After losing one devilish loophole, the carnal mind takes hold of another, determined to serve the devil and to deceive himself, and with his nose in the air he utters the word, we are not to keep the law according unto the letter, but according unto the Spirit. We have to keep it according to the letter, but according to the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Okay. In other words, the letter is the Old Testament law of the slaying of the animal. His misconception of what truth is leads him to believe that to keep the law according unto the Spirit, he must disregard the written word of Yahweh and keep the divine law according unto his own way, and in harmony with the carnal mind, making void Yahweh's own inscription. See Exodus 31:18. Thus exalting the finite above the infinite, what greater blasphemy can one commit? We give here a brief explanation of the subject. Okay. To keep the law according unto the letter is to build a wall around it, as the proud Pharisees did. We quote 1 John 3:15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Therefore, though we kill not, and yet hate one brother, we have kept the law, blended according unto the letter, but not according unto the Spirit. For the keeping of the law according unto the Spirit has a broader significance than the carnal mind can conceive. If I must keep the whole law, I must keep the whole word of Yahweh in every respect. Otherwise, I would dishonor him and would become a transgressor of the law, as a disobedient son dishonors his elderly earthly father and becomes guilty of the fifth commandment and the law. Are we saved by the law? No, indeed. We are judged by the law if we willfully disobey the word of Yahweh. We fall under the condemnation of the law. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Hebrews 10:26. But if we love the righteousness of Yahweh, as expressed in His law, and determined to obey the holy word wherever found, that Bible or spirit of prophecy, according to the revelation by the Spirit, then we receive the power which enables us to fulfill the divine purpose, and thereby our sins are blotted out by the blood of Yeshua, and thus we are made free from the law and its condemnation, placed under the divine grace. It is true that people like to be deceived, flattering themselves that they are on their way to heaven, while Satan winks at their ignorance. The word of Yahweh says, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by the reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. But these, as a natural brute beast, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. 2 Peter 2:12. This proves how the sectarianism sprung up, as it has been proven and generally accepted, that the seven churches of the Revelation, the Adventist Church is the seventh one, chapters 2 and 3, represented the history of the church and the Christian era. And the Christian era is a big deal to talk about. It's from 538 AD to 1798. It is evident that the churches were spirit in seven sections. The letter of sin being the last, she is also in danger of falling according to the testimony. The letter of sin said that the Adventist church is the last church of the true wicked. So then, because thou art lukewarm and out of the corner of heart, I will speak thee out of my mouth. Revelation 3:16. Yahweh has sent message after message to give light upon His written word. They were intended to correct error, rebuke sin, and reprove the sinner. But the leaders of each section threw out the messages, and the few who were willing to sacrifice all for the truth were forced depart from the churches and march on with the light. Were the leaders willing to correct their errors and purify the church, there would have been but one section. By the denial of the truth, each section cut itself off from the mighty arm of Yahweh. Thus not one of these churches have had additional light on the scriptures, other than that which was imparted unto them by the founders of each movement. Okay. Therefore, the facts prove that the prophetic word of Yahweh is correct, and the older the section, the greater the condemnation. Therefore, these churches are represented by the heads. The blasphemy over them denotes their fall, should they refuse this last call also, then the revelation of these sects would be against them and will bring their final ruin. For the message regarding the 144,000 and a call for the Reformation presented unto the Seventh-day Adventist Church in 1930 was in the like manner rejected. Therefore, as the leadership of the churches have never accepted a message at any time, they are certainly fulfilling the following prophecy. For the wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Two, they have rejected the word of Yahweh and what wisdom is in them. For the pastors are become brutish and have not sought the Yeshua. Therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Jeremiah 8:9, 10, and 21. For the seven heads of the leopard-like beast represents this mystery of the unrighteousness and hypocrisy, showing how each one fell into the trap as they came to it. Therefore, since Luther's time and on, Yahweh permitted that his people should be cast out by the Satan's flood, the unconverted. Thus, he has been calling the church from one movement to another. Therefore, they who lower the standard and refuse to reform at the sounding of the trumpet are the very ones who cause divisions in the church of Yahweh. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary unto the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not are yet sure, but their own belly, and by their good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Romans 16:17-18. Since the history of the church is such, and the last section, the Seventh-day Adventist, the latest sin, is in a worse condition and under or with a greater condemnation than any previous one, and as there is no time left for the calling out of a new movement, that's where V.T. Holliver's wrong, because the last movement took over from the Adventist movement in 2002 at Columbia, Texas. Brother Johnson was the last prophet to that candlestick of Laodicea, the Seventh-day Adventist. And he finished up his work by 2003, and Elijah David, starting the judgment of the living, a new movement with a fifth group of laborers, Matthew 20:6, called it the 11th hour. Then a message of the amazing light and stern rebuke, though, through the word of Yahweh, with the, let's read that again, it says, let's just read it, let's back up. It says, since the history of the Adventist Church is such, and or the history of the House of Israel is such, and the last section, the Seventh-day Adventist letter sends, call it the last section. Well, the letter sends Seventh Church is the last section of the seven churches, is in a worse condition and with a greater condemnation than any previous one, and as there is no time, yes there is, each house says there's no time left for calling out of another new movement. Well, that's where he's wrong, because Yahshua come and changed the guard closing out the fourth movement of Matthew 20, verse 5, at the ninth hour of the Seventh Day Adventist in 1844-2003, when Yahshua came to the Gilead Center at the Passover 2002, and he changed the guard from the Protestants to Elijah David, close out the Adventist movement and to open up the new movement. Then a message of amazing light and strength rebuked through the word of Yahweh with no manifestations of the divine judgment. Is the only remedy that can bring true conversion and reformation, thus preparing a purified church of the house of David for the standing without the spot, wrinkle, or any such thing of which only can be said. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and the church as a body, and went to make war with the remnant of his seed, which keepeth the commandments of Yahweh and have the testimony of Yahshua. Revelation 12:17. It is the purity of the church that incurs the wrath of the dragon. For the seven churches were also symbolized by the seven candlesticks, and the leadership of the same churches by the seven angels. So we read, let's read about those seven leaderships. Yahweh has shown me who they were. Paul was the first one of Ephesus, and he was the angel of the first candlestick, and Martin Luther was the Smyrna, second candlestick. Pergamos, the third candlestick, was by John Knox, 1543, Martin Luther in 1500, and the fourth church was John Wesley, the Methodist church, Martin Luther was actually had the fourth church, but the fifth one of the candlestick, I believe. I'll have to go back and get that clear, and I'll give it to you later. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary unto the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Yahweh, Yahshua, but their own belly, and by their good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Romans 16:17-18. Since the history of the church is such, and the last section, that a sin is in a worse condition, and under a greater condemnation than any previous one, and as there is no time left for the calling out of a new movement, then a message of the amazing light and stern rebuke through the word of Yahweh with the manifestations of the divine judgment is the only remedy that can bring true conversion and reformation. Thus preparing a church to stand without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing of which only can be said, and the dragon was wroth with the woman, the church as a body, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of Yahweh and have the testimony of the Yahshua, or the faith in the blood of the Yahshua, Revelation 12:17. It is the fury of the church that incurs the wrath of the dragon. These seven churches were also symbolized by the seven candlesticks and the leadership of the same churches by the seven angels. So we read, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in thy right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Revelation 1:20. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodicean, that would be World of Consciousness, in 2002 at Kermit Church of Gilead Center, write this, Yahshua said, directly addressing him, Revelation 3:14. Note the message is addressed to the angel leadership and not to the candlestick, the church of the body. Therefore, the condemnation is not to the candlestick, but to the angel, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, and poor and blind and naked. See Revelation 3:17. My brethren, this is not against you, for it is Yahshua speaking who died for you, but it will be if you change not your course of the action. If Yahshua by the assembling of these seven churches in a group of seven candlesticks and giving the last scripture unto the last one, the seventh day of the church, and is not calling the latter sins Babylon, and neither is the interpretation of the head doing so, it is not because the latter sins are better that they are not called Babylon, for their record is worse, but it is to show that on account of the increased light, he is to deal differently with them. It is to prove that if the angel leadership of the church of the Laodicean, Brother Johnson, should reject the message of the true witness, in which Brother Johnson did. I had to give him a message on July the 14th, 2002, at Kermit, telling him what he was doing wrong and how he had rescinded the daily, and that heaven's message told me to tell him he had to restore it if he wanted to get back to the good gracious with heaven. And he said, oh no, we don't have to do the day until we get into the land. He said, we know spirit, we're going to get into the land. So he says he cannot call the 144,000 out from the midst of them into another movement. Well, that's just where he's wrong, because the 144,000 are called out at the end of the fourth movement, Matthew 20, verse 5, which was the Adventist movement, 1844 to 2002. And the 144,000 comes out after the Adventist church gospel mission is over with, and the 12th parabolic hour. And they show up in the new movement of the fifth movement, Matthew 20, verse 6, with the five groups of laborers. So they cannot call the 144,000 out from and miss them into another movement by the call of Revelation 18. Come out of her, my people. That you be not partakers of a sin that you receive out of a place, Revelation 18, 4. But rather by the message of Revelation 7 and Ezekiel 9, thus speedily releasing his people, and quickly finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because of short work will Yahshua make upon the earth, Romans 9:28. Disobedience in the word of Yahweh is blasphemy, and blasphemy is hypocrisy. That is to say, they are not what they profess to be. Hypocrisy hides the crime as sins under the appearance of the virtue. This sin of the hypocrisy is difficult to cure, and that it is not easily discovered by men. We cannot understand the hearts of others, nor discern between the cloak of the hypocrisy and the life of holiness. A spiritual deception has its beginning from a being other than human. Therefore, the scheme is so cutting that it cannot be discerned by the finite observation. This kind of deception can only be recognized with the close scrutiny, say, of the Holy Word Yahweh and by the aid of His Spirit. This brings the third verse. This is our contact. This is the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.